John chapter 12, if you want to go there, let's open our Bibles and go to John chapter 12. I want to return to a portion of the passage that we looked at this morning. So we'll begin with verse 44. You can go to verse 44 in John 12. And follow along as I read from the English Standard Version. So John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Now, we noted it briefly this morning in these last few verses of chapter 12. There's a clear summary of Jesus' public ministry here. And Jesus makes several statements here that speak clearly to who he is and what will be true of those who place their faith in him. If you can picture it, it says right at the beginning of the passage here, verse 44 says, "And Jesus cried out and said," sounds like he's lifting up his voice to speak to the crowd that's around him, to get this word into their thinking, to their minds, their hearts, so that they would believe. And I want to take a few moments tonight and look at these statements a little closer, these statements of Jesus, because they speak clearly of five important truths about why you should believe and why you can believe in Jesus, and why you need, if you're a believer, why you need to keep believing, keep fixing your eyes on the finished work of Christ and the work that he does now in us and through us with his word and by his spirit. Listen to these words from a Bible commentator and Bible scholar, D.A. Carson, who writes of these truths, saying, "The emphasis on the fact that God himself stands behind Jesus, whether as the object of faith or as the condemning judge, encourages the most serious consideration into John's reflection on unbelief." Unbelief. Now, we saw two examples. We noted it this morning. We saw this unbelief this morning. There are two types of unbelief demonstrated in the passage that we began looking at this morning, beginning at verse 36. We started reading tonight at verse 44, but this morning we started at verse 36. So there were these two examples of unbelief: the persistent unbelief of some people, and that leads to persistent unbelief, leads to a hardening of the heart against the truth of the Scriptures, against the Lord Jesus Christ, and a result in an inability to believe in Jesus. And then we saw the unbelief of others as seen in the fact that they believed secretly. That they in their hearts, maybe they were thinking, I believe this must be the Messiah, but secret faith, a faith that fears man more than God, which was evident in the passage we looked at this morning, is incomplete faith. The unbelief of many is sobering, and it ought to be sobering for us. It ought to be sobering for us and serious for us and not be taken lightly that people do not believe. And yet, we still have this challenge to try to take the gospel to unbelievers. I think I've told you about my Uncle Bill, who is now with the Lord, my father's younger brother, who for many years lived he just lived in rebellion against God, clearly stated. And I remember, I don't remember it I don't remember it. I was pretty small at the time, but I remember my family talking about it. My dad would try to witness to his brother when we would visit, and his brother would threaten him with physical violence. Say, if you keep telling me about, you know, your religion, I'm just going to beat you up. And he probably could have done it. My dad's pretty spindly, and my uncle was not. And so my dad would kind of back off and quit, you know, just quit bugging him with it. But we prayed every day for my Uncle Bill. And you would have thought that he would never believe. But then his wife got cancer, and she loved the Lord. She was a believer, and she went to be with the Lord. And it didn't take too many years for Bill to begin to realize that he needed the Lord, and he put his trust in the Lord, and we were all amazed, which we shouldn't have been, because that's how God works. But if we could have been tempted to give up and stop praying for him. So the unbelief of people that we love dearly, and there are people dear to me who are not believers, and I pray for them constantly. And I'm sure that you have people on your heart that you pray for constantly. Do not stop. And look for opportunities to share the gospel with them. They may have told you, enough, stop. I think it doesn't hurt to respect that and to honor people who say, stop sharing the truth with me. But it doesn't mean that you'll stop sharing the truth with them. You keep living the truth. You keep believing the truth. And they will see that you are changing as you near heaven, as you get closer to the day when God calls you home or returns for you. It's sobering, isn't it, when people will not believe, and it's heartbreaking. But we ought not let that stop us from sharing the gospel. We also ought not let that stop us from continuing to believe ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not let the lack of faith in others hinder your faith or discourage your faith. Keep believing in your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, five statements from Jesus I want to talk about tonight. Here's the first claim of Jesus and why he must be taken seriously and believed in for salvation, and why you can continue to rest on these truths for a growing faith in Christ yourself. Here's the first one. Jesus and the Father are one. God the Son and God the Father are one. There is a triune God. Tom mentioned it this morning in Sunday school, and we believe in a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and they are one. But here in the text, it's talking about God the Father and God the Son being one. And when you're given the gospel, you should trust in Jesus, because to see Jesus is to see the Father. Now, you can't see Jesus physically, but if you'll look at the Word, if you'll look at your Bible before you, you can see Jesus in the pages of your Bible, in the pages of God's Word, and you can see God in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His ministry on earth. And you gather the heart of God and understand more fully the heart of God as you watch the ministry of Jesus in the Scriptures. Jesus and the Father are one. Back up to verses 44 and 45, where Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me." So here are a couple of other examples we hear in John's gospel. We'll back all the way up to chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word." All right, "in the beginning was the Word." "And the Word was with God." This is speaking about Jesus. "And the Word was God." God the Father and God the Son are one. Verse 18 in also chapter 1, John 1, verse 18. "No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." And then chapter 14, John 14 and verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" So Jesus is so completely the revelation of God Himself in human flesh that to believe in the Son is to believe in the Father. So, here's a question. Why is it important to understand that truth? Why do I take time to talk about this fact? I trust you believe this truth from the Scriptures that God the Son and God the Father are one, but why do you need to understand that truth? Turn with me for a moment to 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. This truth is important, and it is fundamental to your faith, because if Jesus were merely another prophet, or as some say, well, Jesus was a good teacher, but I don't think he was God. If Jesus were just merely another teacher or another prophet, and if Jesus is not God in human flesh, and if he didn't rise from the dead, then your faith, your trust in him is pointless. But the Scriptures tell us otherwise. Your faith in him is not pointless. Here's how Paul puts this, 1 Corinthians 15, go to verse 13. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 13 through 19, follow along as I read. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Still under condemnation if this is not true. Then those who also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And if in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. So if Jesus is not God in human flesh, and if he did not rise from the dead, then your faith is wasted. But, and listen to these words from Paul. He counters this argument, and he says in verses 20 and 21, look at it, verses 20 and 21, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. And the outcome of that is that if your faith is in Christ, you no longer are condemned for your sins. So Jesus, God the Son, and God the Father are one. Fundamental to your faith, important to understand. Here's the second truth we see here. Here's the second statement or thought we gather from Jesus' words here in these closing verses of chapter 12. And why believe in Jesus, again, is the question. Why keep believing in Jesus? Why keep seeking to grow your faith in your Savior? Because not only does God, not only does the Son reveal the Father, God in flesh, as God in flesh. You remember, Jesus Christ comes to earth as God in flesh and is God's representation of Himself on earth in human flesh. So not only does the Son reveal the Father, God in flesh, but truth is revealed in the Son. Jesus is the Word made flesh. I just read a few moments ago John 1:1, which emphasized that truth. Back to John 12, though, look at verse 46. Jesus is the Word made flesh, and look how we get an emphasis of that here. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Remember, light is truth. When we're talking about light here in John 12, we're talking about the truth. I have come into the world as truth, as light, to shed the light of truth into the lives of those who would believe, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. You no longer stand condemned. Praise God if your faith is in Christ. Pastor and author Charles Swindoll says that Jesus is the personal representation, the literal embodiment of all truth. Therefore, to believe divine truth is not to accept a certain set of facts, but to believe in the person named Jesus. So you cannot say, as some say, I'll take Jesus, but you can keep your Bible. If you're not going to take the Bible, you can't have Jesus. It's true. It's His truth. It's light. And so Jesus is light. He is truth. Now, when people say things like that, I'll take Jesus, but you can keep your Bible, I don't suggest you get angry with them. You might suggest, how about we study the Gospel of John together and just gather once a week and read through it together? That might be a really good start to somebody who says, now you can keep your Bible. It is, you might argue, it is a really good piece of literature. If you don't think it's God's Word, you can't argue with the fact that it's not good literature. Let's read it together and let's meet for 21 weeks and read a chapter a week together and talk about it. Jesus is light. It's so important. He is the truth. He is, the Bible says, the way, the truth, and the life. And as such, Jesus not only draws people to the light, to the truth, and that's why I encourage you, if you can ever get an unbeliever to read the Bible with you, the Bible, God's Word, is powerful and can open blind eyes as the Spirit draws them and enables them to understand and see the truth. And as such, as truth, as light, and as Jesus not only draws people to the light, to the truth, something to be desired, the truth ought to be desired, and yet we see in our culture often the truth being turned upside down and be called falsehoods. The truth isn't desired, but the truth ought to be desired. He also makes the darkness undesirable. So in believing hearts, God helps make the truth desirable, a thing that you long to hear. That's why you're here tonight, I trust, because you want to hear the truth proclaimed, and makes the falsehoods and makes sin undesirable. Makes the darkness of sin undesirable. And as light, Jesus calls sinners to repent of sin. Jesus calls sinners to reject the darkness by turning from the darkness to the light, who is Jesus Christ. And Jesus calls sinners to believe in the truth. And then He helps make the darkness and sin and rebellion against God something believers no longer long for, even though we're still at war with it, aren't we? We're still fighting the temptation of sin. You, if you're a believer, when you fall for temptation and give in to sin, you ought to feel guilt. And you ought to come with shame before the Lord and confess, I sinned. Lord, help me. Give me your strength and desire to say no to this temptation. And thank you for the forgiveness that's already mine. If you're a believer, you are still tempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. That's true. But sin no longer has a death grip on you. Sin no longer can control you if you will depend upon the Lord and if you will continue to grow in your faith in Christ and turn to His Word for help and ask for His help and ask, as we talked this morning, ask and pray to God for more faith, stronger faith, growing faith. Because a lack of faith, a weak faith, shows itself in disobedience. But sin no longer has a death grip on you because Jesus brings light. The light is truth, and with truth brings freedom from sin. And he shines that truth into our hearts through the Word. That's why I will not stop encouraging you to read your Bible, like I did for a few moments tonight after reading Psalm 21, to read your Bible this week. Make an appointment with yourself every day. Make it important. Make it a prominent part of your day. And give yourself time in the Word so that God can work in your life as you surrender to Him in the truth. God will work in your life. God will work in your heart. He will work in your thinking and train you in righteousness and help you desire what He desires and help you long to reject the things that He rejects. What we see next is the purpose for this revealing of truth. Truth number three. So why believe in Jesus? Well, and why keep your eyes on Jesus as a believer? Why seek to keep growing in your faith in Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus as the truth to be believed, which is just why He came, did not come to condemn death, but to save to life. So here's the statement from Jesus, the fact that He did not come to judge, He did not come to bring death or condemn to death, but to bring life, to save to life, save to eternal life. We all are condemned already in our sins without Christ. And so if we fail to put our faith in Christ, we stand and remain condemned. And those who persist in unbelief bring condemnation on themselves in their rejection, in their disbelief, their unbelief. So look at verses 47 and 48. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. Now, we've heard this before. This, again, another important truth. This is a truth we saw earlier in John's Gospel. We can go all the way back to chapter 3, John chapter 3 and verse 18, where we hear these words, "Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." Later in verse 36, John chapter 3, "Whoever believes in the Son has," and this is why you've heard me say, you've already begun living your eternal life if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, "whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son," what is it to not obey the Son? It's to disbelieve. It's to refuse to believe in the truth of the gospel. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God, it doesn't say it comes on him. It says the wrath of God remains on him. You see, if you put your faith and trust in God, the wrath of God has been removed from you. Because without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the wrath of God remains on you. And so this wonderful truth for believers that Jesus didn't come to condemn to death, but to save to life. And it's the message that you have to share with your unbelieving neighbors and coworkers and family members that need Christ. John 5:24, where we also heard this truth, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me," God the Father, "has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." God sent the Son as the embodiment of truth, truth in human flesh, God in human flesh, to be believed in, and by whom the one who believes is saved from sin and saved from condemnation for sin. But the opposing truth is also true. If you refuse to believe in the one whom the Father has sent, if you persist in your unbelief and remain hardened in your sin, you will remain condemned and bring condemnation on yourself on the day of judgment. That ought to compel believers to pray for unbelievers to have eyes open to the truth, that God would draw them to Himself, that God would give you wisdom in how you live so that they see God's Word is true and it's working, changing you, and give you wisdom to share the gospel with them whenever you can. Now, here's the fourth truth we see here. Why believe in Jesus? Why should unbelievers believe? And why should believers continue to put their faith and trust and keep growing in their faith and asking God to grow their faith in Jesus as they seek to walk with Him day by day? Here's truth number four. Jesus only says and does the Father's will. Jesus says and does the Father's will. That's only what He does. It's what He does. It's what He came to do. Noted in verse 49, "For I have not spoken of my own authority," God the Son, "but the Father who sent me has Himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak." And you can trust in Jesus because He is only saying and only doing God the Father's will. This is one of the reasons that rejecting the Son and what He says is so serious. Reject the Son, and who else are you rejecting? You're rejecting God the Father. The opposite is also true. Praise God. And brings great blessings to believers. Obey the Son, and you're obeying the Father. Obey God the Son, the truth, the light. Obey His Word, and you're obeying God the Father. Now, one path leads to eternal condemnation and separation from God in hell. The other path leads to eternal life, leads to the presence of God and the radiance of His glory. We sang about it in a couple of songs that we sang tonight about heaven, and we look forward to being with our Savior. But not only are those eternal blessings ours that we sometimes have a hard time grasping because we can't see them yet, and we can't quite enjoy them yet, although we could enjoy them if we'd understand how good they are. We can enjoy them now even before we see them. But there are present blessings when you obey God. There are present blessings from God when you walk with Christ, because what Jesus speaks and does, He only does as the Father has commanded Him. He only does the Father's will. So not only are those eternal blessings yours, but present blessings through the peace of God as He works His peace in you with the Word of truth, by His Spirit, as you continue to seek to grow in your faith, trusting in the One who has only done and is only doing the Father's will. And when you believe in Jesus, when you believe in His Word, when you trust Him through prayer, and you ask Him for His help, you ask Him for His wisdom, you ask Him to strengthen and grow your faith, give you more faith, and you ask for His will to be done, Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and," a very important "and" at verse 7, "the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." It's what we prayed for that young couple tonight. That the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, when life hands you a tragedy, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You need that. I need that. We live in a sin-sick world. And we need our hearts and our minds guarded by the Word of God and the work of God in Christ Jesus. And you can bank on it, because Jesus only does the Father's will. You can bank on the truth of God's Word, because what He says is only according to God's will. And when you believe in Jesus and you believe and obey His Word, you can live at peace with your brothers and your sisters in Christ as well. Think of that. I don't think we can overemphasize the importance of God's children getting along. There was nothing that, you know, when you bring up eight children, there's nothing that brought me more joy than to see my children getting along. They could get sideways with each other for sure. Now they're all adults, and some of them get to live near each other, and I love to see them interact as adults. And they care for each other. They help, my boys help fix each other's cars and stuff like that. Help each other do work and things, and sometimes help their brothers get jobs. You know what's sweet? Is when God's people, God's children, if you're God's child, it's you, you're part of God's church, when you get along with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And that's part of one of the blessings that you can enjoy, an eternal blessing that you can enjoy now if you'll participate. If you'll seek to be at peace with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Here's Colossians 3:15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. That passage actually comes from a longer passage about the church and loving your brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. And it says, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. And so we go back to verse 49, for I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say, what to speak. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep seeking to grow in your faith. Seek to know God's Word by reading it for yourself. Saturate your heart and mind with the truth of God's Word. And let the peace of Christ rule. Let it help you learn how to get along with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let it help you learn how to serve faithfully as a part of God's church and know the peace of Christ. It's what you've been called to in Christ Jesus. And be thankful, as Colossians 3:15 says. Now the fifth truth that we see here, why believe in Jesus? Why keep believing in Jesus? Why keep seeking to grow in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because Jesus is, and I said it earlier, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, God sent the Son to make faith and salvation available to sinners. Without Jesus' finished work on the cross, and without God drawing you to Himself, faith in Him is impossible. Life is impossible. Finding the way on your own is impossible, but Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And God sent the Son to make faith and salvation available and possible to sinners. Salvation is only possible for the one who comes to Christ, not by works, but through faith, by faith in Him alone. Look at verse 50 here in John 12. Verse 50, and I know that His commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me. There it is again. But there at the beginning of verse 50, and I know that His commandment is eternal life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus only does what the Father commands Him. and he becomes the way, the truth, and the life as he comes and lives a sinless life, and then goes to the cross for sinners and is buried, and then conquers the grave in 3 days and lives today. And ultimately, as we see verse 50, and his commandment, as it says, his commandment, as Jesus says here, is fundamentally and most importantly this: believe in the Son. Believe in the Son. That's the most important. You begin there. You begin your life in Christ there. Believe in the Son. But you don't stop believing in the Son. You keep believing. You keep your eyes on Christ. You keep your eyes on His Word. And those who obey His commandment are those who put their faith and trust in Christ. Those who obey that commandment are saved eternally. And the thought here is completed with this reminder that all the Son does is in obedience. Here it is again. It's in obedience to the Father. We hear this in John 17 and verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. That's the greatest message we have for the world. It's the message they desperately need to believe in. Back in John 5 and verse 24, we heard this: truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life. Noted it earlier, he does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. The greatest message we have for the world is Jesus saves sinners. The greatest message that you have for the week ahead is that Jesus saves sinners. It's what you need to hear. It's what you need to trust in every day of your life. And Romans 10:13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Praise God. And those are wonderful truths, aren't they? Those five statements, those five truths that Jesus points to in these closing verses of chapter 12. Wonderful truths. Truths about Jesus and why you can and should believe in Him and keep believing in Him. Keep trusting in Him with your life, with your whole life, with every area of your life. Asking Him to strengthen and grow your faith. These are also very sobering truths about Jesus. So listen to this thought by Bible commentator J.C. Ryle, who helps us understand why these statements of Jesus are so important and why they help us take seriously the one whom the Father sent. J.C. Ryle writes, "He who believes that he must give an account to the judge of quick and dead at his appearing and kingdom will never be content with an ungodly life. He will say, there's a judgment, and I can never serve God too much. Christ died for me. I can never do too much for Him." May that be our attitude. What can you do for Jesus? You can't do too much for Him. You can't do too much. There is a judgment. And there are people around you who need the gospel and who need to see you living for Christ and you growing and changing in your imperfection, in your sometimes you sin and you need to repent of those sins and confess that you've done wrong and admit you're wrong. But you need to keep growing. Keep turning to God's Word. Keep seeking to grow in your faith. Ask God to strengthen your faith for your good, for your joy, for your peace, yes. But also, and most importantly, to glorify God, to make Him known with your life. Oh, that we would long, as J.C. Ryle does, to live lives that glorify God and say, there's no way I can do too much. There's no way I can serve the Lord with too much of my life. Give Him your all and trust Him with your life. Let's do that. And let's ask the Lord to help us do that this week.